From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Chris Nichols. A caravan of mourners filed onto the state capitol grounds today to remember Charlie Kirk. A conservative commentator was killed last month while speaking at an event on a Utah college campus. CAP Radio Communities reporter Tony Rodriguez was at this morning's celebration of life for Kirk and joins us with more. Good morning, Tony.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Well, tell us a little bit about what inspired this event and how did things play out this morning?
Well, this was put together for the remembrance of Charlie Kirk, who, like you said, was killed last month while speaking at Utah Valley University. Today would have been Kirk's 32nd birthday. That's why they chose to hold it today. Also, the House of Representatives, after his death, passed a resolution acknowledging the 14th as Kirk's Remembrance Day. The event was lively. It began in Rockland, where supporters of his got together and rode down from there to the state capitol. And I'd say there were about 300 people there. Live music was playing as people rode, honking their horns in support. There were some guest speakers there, like Republican Assemblymember Josh Hoover from the Folsom area, and even one of Charlie Kirk's close friends, Boomer Bennett. A lot of what I heard from people was a mix of faith and politics.
Okay. Well, thank you for setting the scene for us. And you had also CAP Radio's Greg Michik out there in Rockland, where the caravan started. Here's a bit from organizer Justin Montgomery, the NorCal president of Born to Ride for 45.
I think mostly they misunderstand his message, and I don't think they listen. You know, misunderstanding what he said, calling him a racist, calling him, you know, against foreigners. It's not who he was. He was a minister first. He was not a politician. The man was out there to teach people how to love God and how to love your life and your families and your relationships. And that's the most important thing that he did.
Okay, so Tony, this sentiment that we just heard about attendees saying that Kirk was perhaps misunderstood, is that something that you also heard?
Yes. Many people talked about how they felt Kirk was misunderstood as a radical, but that his message was really about faith and community. Multiple people that I talked to said they saw him as someone trying to unite Christians rather than divide them through politics. Even as Trump flags and clothing were all over, the conversations I had were more centered around faith.
Tony, you were at the Capitol this morning where the memorial event took place. Give us a little more information about the scene and the atmosphere itself.
Yeah, the event started a bit slow. It's rainy today. So it started at 9, and roughly about 100 people were there at the start of it. But by the time speakers came out and it got a little later, I'd say there was about 200 to 300 people there. And yeah, it was quite rainy, so that could have impacted the turnout.
You mentioned that faith was a big theme among the speakers, but also Turning Point USA, the organization that Charlie Kirk founded, they had a booth at the event. Did they talk at all? What did they have to say about the event?
There were some Turning Point student chapters tabling at the event, passing out stickers and telling people to organize. I approached some of their organizers, which they told me Turning Point would not be able to speak to the media today.
You did speak with Republican Assemblymember Josh Hoover, who represents the Folsom area. He attended the event. What did he tell you?
Yeah, he was the one politician who came to speak at the event, and he really focused on the dangers of political violence. He said as an assemblyman, he felt fear when hearing the news of Kirk's assassination. And he also pointed to attempts to assassinate President Donald Trump and other attempts on two Minnesota lawmakers this year, one of whom was killed along with her husband. Here's a little bit of what he told me.
One of the things that really inspired me about Charlie, I had the wonderful opportunity to meet him at an event we did together out in Placer County a few years ago. And, you know, at the end of the day, he really wanted people to have conversations. He did not want things to fall into political violence. He did not want to see people using violence as a method of silencing people you disagree with. He believed in talking and having the conversation. And I think we need more of that right now.
Yeah. Well, Hoover's words were brief when he addressed the crowd. He also brought up his faith and told supporters of Kirk in attendance to seek Jesus in a time of violence.
So was there any talk of what this event, what Kirk's death might mean for Republicans or the conservative movement here locally or in California?
Yeah. Many pointed out Kirk being a big leader in the conservative movement and that not dying out. Most people there were wearing some sort of pro-Trump clothing, and they say that his conservative or Republican supporters will continue to show out.
Finally, Tony, was there any pushback or counter-protests that you saw?
We did not see any opposition to the crowd out there at the event, but news through the day will likely make its way to social media, and that could spark some public reaction.
Thank you, Tony, for joining us on Insight.
Thank you, Chris.
That was Cap Radio Communities reporter Tony Rodriguez, who was covering a Charlie Kirk memorial event outside the state capitol here in Sacramento this morning. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. If you're just joining us, we're talking about reactions to the assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk last month, including a memorial outside the state capitol today. I now want to bring in Carolyn Jones. She's the K-12 education reporter with the nonprofit newsroom Cal Matters, which partners with public media stations across the state. Carolyn, welcome.
Thank you.
Carolyn, you recently reported on the fallout of Kirk's assassination across California schools. When your story was published about 2 weeks ago, you noted at least 20 K-12 teachers across California were disciplined or fired because of comments they made related to Kirk's death. Do you have any sense if that's a trend that's still continuing?
I just heard back from the teachers union just now, actually, and they said there's been not a significant uptick since then. So the number stays, at 20 and maybe a few more.
And Carolyn, can you tell us a little more about what capacity these comments were made?
In most cases, these were social media posts that the teachers made, during non-work hours. So definitely during their private time, not during school time.
And so were they on social media? How were they transmitted?
Yeah, on social media. And in the cases that I checked into, parents had somehow seen the social media post or a screenshot of the social media post, and it went viral and complaints were lodged at the school district, prompting the school district to do an investigation of the teachers from there.
What are some examples of the kinds of things that were said that led to teachers being disciplined?
Sure. Well, in Pacheco Union School District, which is an elementary district near Reading, a teacher had written, "Mr. Kirk, you reap what you sow." It was one comment. In the Dry Creek Elementary District, which is in Roseville, a teacher wrote, "Kirk is a piece of blank that starts with the letter S." So it was posts like that that tended to get the attention of the community and parents and, spur some action from the school district.
When it comes to the school districts, what are the grounds or reasons being mentioned for this discipline or in some cases termination?
Well, it would be the infraction would be that you have done something to disrupt your job or disrupt the workplace somehow. Teachers have the right to free speech just like anybody, except in situations where what you say, even if it's off hours, impacts your job or impacts the workplace in some way. And that applies to everybody, actually, not just teachers. So the idea is that these teachers, through their social media posts, have somehow impacted their ability to do the job in the classroom.
And, since this has taken place, I'm wondering, have teachers' unions weighed in and responded to these disciplinary actions?
Yes, in many different ways. In most districts, it's kind of different. Each district has its own separate union contract with their teachers. And so the rules are a little bit different depending on the district. But typically, the union is, representing the teacher during this disciplinary process. How it typically works is a district would do an investigation to find out, did the teacher in fact make that post? And then it's up to the district or the school board to make a decision about how to proceed from there. Either they could drop the whole thing, or they could take any kind of measure ranging from reprimand, which could just amount to, a note in the HR file, to termination, again, this would depend on the district and the union contract and so forth. The unions typically are, you know, representing their members through this process, and also, you know, kind of urging all members that this is a really kind of heightened political time right now, and they're urging all their members to sort of watch what you say on social media. Know your rights. You know, if you get in trouble, bring a union rep with you. But check the settings on your social media, or maybe stay off social media entirely.
I'm wondering, for the districts where, you know, discipline was handed out or people were fired, you know, did they make the argument that this is having an impact on students? Were they just concerned about the school's reputation? What did they say on those fronts?
You know, that the teachers' values that they put forth, you know, were not in sync with the school district's values, particularly if the teachers' posts seem to be, you know, praising the act of political violence. You know, they would just say will not be tolerated in our school district. And also that it, you know, it's so disruptive and has caused so much uproar among parents. I mean, you know, in some cases, you know, you're getting hundreds of parents turning up at school board meetings, protesting and demanding that a teacher be fired. So they're saying that it's made it impossible for the teacher to do their job effectively.
And these occasions, you know, speaking out and then being sort of reprimanded for it, it wasn't just California where this happened, correct? I mean, teachers were disciplined across the country for comments after Kirk's death.
That's right. I mean, hundreds of teachers nationwide have either been investigated or disciplined or fired over Charlie Kirk comments in the wake of his assassination last month. Actually, California is kind of has fewer teachers than other states. I think in Texas, for example, as many as 280 teachers have been investigated or fired for Charlie Kirk related comments. The reason for that is that we have state free speech laws in addition to the federal free speech laws. And the state free speech law says that employers cannot fire somebody for their political views. So that kind of complicates things a little bit. And then also, we have pretty strong teachers unions here. You can't just fire someone, you know, instantly. There has to be a process that you go through, and certain steps have to be taken, and the teacher has a right to appeal and file a grievance or and so forth. Nationwide, some teachers have joined together and filed lawsuits, but we have not seen that yet in California.
And just to clarify one point, we were talking earlier about sort of what teachers' unions have agreed to. Are there some cases where unions have agreed to more limited speech than others? Does it sort of depend on what has been negotiated as far as how far some speech goes as an employee of a certain school district?
I think, you know, it's up to the school district to set these employment rules, basically. But the teachers' union role is kind of, you know, protecting the teacher and representing the teacher as they go through the disciplinary process. You know, if a teacher breaks an employment law, then that's that. The union is not necessarily going to say, okay, you deserve to keep your job, but the union will make sure that the steps are followed and that the school district goes through the proper channels to either discipline or terminate the teacher.
Carolyn, how is all of this fitting into the larger national backlash after Kirk's assassination, as well as the larger culture war issues impacting schools and districts?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, schools have been sort of front center of a lot of these culture war issues now for some time, at least a couple years. And so this, you know, some people say this is just another chapter of that. This is just another excuse to go after teachers who people perceive to be, you know, liberal, progressive, pro-LGBTQ, you know, whatever, talking about diversity in the classroom. So this is kind of one in a series of movements, I would say, to kind of watch teachers, for lack of a better word. And then also, you know, I think the impact is that, you know, like all these other things, it's had a bit of a chilling effect. I've talked to a lot of teachers who say, you know, yeah, it's you know, you don't really know. You know, anything you say could be taken out of context, or parents might not agree with it. And it might, even if it's a private post and you have your settings set, you know, friends only on social media, someone could take a screenshot of that and it could go viral. So teachers are saying, yeah, they're very, very cautious about what they say right now.
Well, that sort of leads us to our last question. I mean, I assume then that districts or maybe unions are issuing some guidance for teachers related to this.
That's right. They're saying, even though some, many legal scholars say this is a clear issue of free speech, and it's hard to understand how a social media post made during off hours, you know, to a private group of people could possibly disrupt someone's job in the classroom. A lot of legal scholars say that this is a clear violation of free speech rules and laws. But nonetheless, the union and, individual teachers are just being super careful what they say. And a lot of people have gotten off of social media entirely, or just being, very mum about even what they talk about in the classroom, even like in a civics class where a lot of these issues come up, or they're just really watching everything they say.
Well, it's an important issue. Carolyn, thank you so much for joining us on Insight to talk about it.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
Carolyn Jones is CalMatters K-12 education reporter. We've been talking about the fallout and reactions to the assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk last month and how it's playing out in schools across California. Up next, it's crush season for California's wine country. We'll get an update on this year's harvest from Rick Cushman. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Chris Nichols.